This podcast replay is brought to you by AccidentLawFirm.com. For truck, motorcycle, and rideshare accidents, call Bobby Nunez, 305-444-4407. AccidentLawFirm.com.
RC in the 305 says, bro, why is Greer all of a sudden going to be able to pick quality OL when this far he's struck out? Tunsil fell in his lap, by the way. RC in the 305, bro. You know, you're on a lot here, so I'm going to take it easy on you, okay? Let me ask you something.
You do have gloves on. You don't have to.
Let me ask. yeah, you know what, RC? The gloves are off. No. Let me ask you something, RC in the 305. When Dave Wannstedt had the opportunity to pick Anquan Boldin and went Eddie Moore, it fell in his lap. Why didn't he do it, bro? I mean, if you're going to bring up that stupid-ass statement that Tunsil fell in his lap. So let me ask you, RC in the 305, when you had Drew Brees and Jamar Fletcher, I mean, Drew Brees fell in your lap, but why didn't you make the pick? You do have to make the pick, don't you? Right? RC in the 305, the player is falling in the draft. And one team after another passes up Aaron Rodgers. And then Green Bay picks him. So there were a bunch of teams in front that passed up on Aaron Rodgers. But what? So Green Bay gets no credit because it fell in their lap? Or do they get credit because they made the pick? Oh, I'm sorry. So Shula gets no credit because Marino fell in their lap. There's no falling in the lap, RC, in the 305, my brother. Okay? That's a stupid-ass statement. It's you either make the pick or you don't. And I've watched it over and over and over again that you either make the pick or you don't. It's there. The player's there. There's no, it fell to your lap. Okay, he picked Minka. That was a good pick. He picked Charles Harris. That was a bad pick. He picked Christian Wilkins. That was a good pick. He picked Xavier Howard. That was a hell of a pick. Some picks are good. Some picks are bad. They don't fall in your lap, my brother. Your pick comes up. You got to make a decision. You don't know at that moment if Laramie Tunsil's got a drug problem. That's why he fell to number 13. Because he was a top three, top four pick. So all of a sudden, you know, Marino had a cocaine rumor. I don't know if you know that. I don't even know if you're old enough, RC, in the 305. Okay? I don't even know if you were sperm by that time in those days. But I'm old enough, so I've lived all of this stuff, and I've watched it all develop. So when people make stupid-ass statements like that, oh, it fell in your lap. No, there's no falling in the lap, dude. Okay? Because if it was falling in the lap, we would have watched Anquan Boldin have a Hall of Fame career in a Dolphins uniform. And Drew Brees, too. And they fell in your lap. You make the pick or you don't make the pick. So you give the man the credit for making the pick, RC in the 305. Just like give him credit for finding Preston Williams out of nothing. And give him credit for bamboozling Devontae Parker's agent by signing a two-year deal and then locking him into a very cap-friendly deal now for the next 4 years. If he is that guy, they got themselves a bargain. Credit him for that. Let's do that. Don't go out of your way to actually point something out that has no substance whatsoever. Oh, Tunsil fell on their laps, by the way. Yeah, and so did two first-rounders a second and getting rid of $8 million in salary. No, that must have fallen in his lap too because that wasn't a great decision. Come on, man. I mean, look, some of you out there, you want to pick on the guy just to pick on the guy. That's fine. You want to look stupid, go ahead. But if you're going to say something that has substance. Don't say something that has no substance, and all you're doing is pulling it out of your ass. And that's what it sounds like. RC in the 305. 78, and that was me taking it easy on you. 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105. if you want to get in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line. John says, Big O, take two at five or Herbert or Jordan Love. I'm not taking either all of them. Dropping all of them at five. I'm taking Tristan Wirfs. Okay? So, I mean, it's just things that sometimes people say, and it's, you don't think. You know what I mean? You just pull something, you know, and you think it's a smart thing that you said, and it's really stupid. Incredibly stupid.
We get at least one a week, and we got to Thursday. We hadn't had one of these.
No, we had an earlier one on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday.
Was it?
Yeah, we had one of those, yeah. Yeah, usually we get somebody to say something really stupid like that.
I thought it was last week. I thought we almost went a whole week without.
No, that's just.
You can't do it.
It fell in your lap. I mean, that's just ridiculous, dude. You know? Like, you know why that kind of statement is so stupid? Because I'm the guy sitting there on draft day, and there's Anquan Boldin, and I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, take Anquan Boldin, and I see Eddie Moore. And it's like, are you kidding me, bro? You're taking Eddie Moore. We're watching Drew Brees, and they took Jamar Fletcher. You know what I mean? It's like, are you kidding me? Wow. Think about that. Think about that the Dolphins passed up on two Hall of Famers with those picks. That, by the way, RC in the 305 fell in their laps. My man Armando Salguero had an article in the Miami Herald. And he was, in the way he kind of wrote the article, he was talking about how maybe Tua isn't a player that Brian Flores wants on his team. And Armando made an exceptional point on how things have been handled in the offseason. And the only thing I would disagree with him, if you go read the article in the Miami Herald, he talks about how Tua is out there and, you know, bits and pieces are coming out about his meeting with one team or the Dolphins, or, you know, how his health is or what the progress is or the videos that he's putting out. That information is trickling out. And that meanwhile, and he's 1,000% right, do you hear about a meeting with Joe Burrow? No. Do you hear about Herbert? No. Do you hear about Love? No. You don't. Nothing leaks out from any of those. In fact, the only thing that leaked out from Joe Burrow was the AJ Green thing. That's it. But outside of that, they're not selling themselves like Tua is and his camp. And so kind of what Armando was insinuating is this a sign of things to come with Tua? Is he a guy that is going to be constantly leaking things? And here's what I would say to that article, where I would disagree with Armando on a couple of different levels. One, Tua wasn't like that in Alabama. Okay? Under Saban, it wasn't like he was Mr. Hey, I'm Tua, bring attention to me and all this stuff. He wasn't that dude. He wasn't Baker Mayfield at Oklahoma. Right? Baker Mayfield was look at me, look at me, look at me guy. Johnny Manziel was look at me, look at me, look at me guy. Tua's not that. And so where I would disagree with Armando on this is Tua and his people are doing what they have to do at this point. Do you know why? Because he's injured. Because he's been injured over and over and over again. Because the question marks for Tua are much more serious than Herbert. See, Herbert's issue is not a physical thing. It's a mental thing. It's a maturity thing that you're worried about with him. Joe Burrow, it's not a maturity thing. It's not a physical thing. It's a one-year wonder. He was surrounded by great talent. He had Joe Brady, who called the perfect offense for him. Everything went well. Is this really the guy? Because he looked kind of average the year before, and he was mediocre at Ohio State. So which is the real Joe Burrow? Jordan Love's problem is consistency. Oh, well, wait a minute. Jordan Love was great in 2019 when he had his coaches and his players and all that. But in 2020, his coaches left. He lost a lot of the players. And so he looked terrible and made all kinds of mistakes. So was it that, or was it that he wasn't disciplined enough in a situation with less talent to be disciplined and take care of the football? Well, which one is it? I don't know. But it's not physical. It's not that he's breaking down. It's none of that. In fact, Jordan Love is healthy as hell. And he's an athletic freak, actually. That's why he's in this conversation. Because athletically, he's probably the most talented quarterback in the draft. So the Tua has to sell himself. I don't blame him, because he's doing things that they need to do in order to get it out there and get people to talk about him. And look, he's doing his interviews. He said it yesterday. I saw the interview he did on ESPN, which he said absolutely nothing. It was completely fluff. But he has said that, you know, he is talking with teams. He's having their, you know, the video, whatever, those Skype interviews and all that stuff. And I don't know if it's true or not, but he actually said that the media side has asked him more about the injury than the teams. And maybe that's true, because a GM is not really going to know anything about it until the doctor looks at it. And the doctor needs to make the interpretation and then give it to the general manager and the head coach in layman's terms. So that's probably why coaches, you know, a head coach right now, or a quarterback's coach, or an offensive coordinator that's talking to Tua, isn't really going to be so much into the injury, because they're not educated enough anyways. And all they're going to hear from the kid is that I feel great and all that. And he's telling, his people are telling, no, we're going to be ready to start in week one, which is complete BS. No team is going to put Tua out there in week one. The guy's not even a year removed from a hip injury. You think that guy's going to be ready to take a hit in September? If there's a football season starting in September? Hell no, dude. You'd be a moron to put Tua out there in week one and to take injuries, to take hits. Especially an injury-prone guy like that. So that's where I differ with Armando in his article. I agree with him that Tua is doing stuff that probably Flores wouldn't like, but that's not his track record. I think that's his agents doing that now, because there's a sell job that they have to do now that the other guys don't have to sell. The other guys, it's all football. For Tua, it's not football. It's all health. And that's a huge difference. We're not talking about Joe Burrow's shoulder or his knee or his hip. We're not talking about Jordan Love's, you know, ACL or Liz Frank injury. You know what I'm saying? No, we're not talking about Justin Herbert's concussion history. None of those guys have that. Just in case, if anybody, you just joined in the conversation, I'm not saying any of those guys, they're all healthy. So that's not an issue. But with Tua, that's the only issue. And it's an enormous one. Because if he's not healthy, he definitely will never even be what he was. And if you want to even get what he was, well, and you need him to be healthy and you need him to stay healthy. Can he even do that? That's the one thing that Tua has proven to everybody. Right? If there's one thing, no, there's a couple things. One, he's deadly accurate. So that's good. But the other one is, he's a sack of injuries. Those are, you can count on that. Classy kid, can pass the hell out of the ball, but he's also going to break down all the damn time. That's money in the bank. As consistent as he is throwing the ball, that's how injury prone he is. As great a guy as he is, that's how injury prone he is. All those are consistent. So that's where I would disagree with Armando on that one and say Tua's got to sell himself. He's got no choice. Apparently the NFL is looking at multiple scenarios for the draft. Now, you look at this whole situation, because the NFL now is, remember we talked about it yesterday at the Saints, have a sports bar that they're going to go to that Gail Benson, the owner of the Saints, she owns that bar. So I don't know if they're going to be approved for that. It doesn't seem like it because now with the whole COVID-19 thing, the NFL on Thursday provided guidelines to all the teams on draft day. All right. And it says the league issued a memo obtained by Tom Pelissero and informs all the clubs considering that for the draft, the first option is for clubs to operate out of their facilities. Now, that may be a problem because some cities may not allow you to work at your facility. That's one. And you're not going to get written permission to draft football players to get it open. Government officials aren't going to give you a break for that because that would make them look like idiots. It's subject to mandatory health and safety guidelines issued by Dr. Alan Sills, which will include limitations on the number permitted club personnel at the facility and rigorous cleaning requirements. The second option is for the teams to operate completely remotely in personal residences with a clear prohibition of any number of clubs' personnel gathering in one residence. So that's probably how it's going to be. There'll be a couple guys in different houses. They'll be whatever apart. They'll be on film. The league will be able to see it, all that kind of stuff. And then they'll probably send in their pick, and then somebody for the NFL will do the pick like they normally do the commissioner, and that's it. You won't see who's making the pick behind the scenes from each team. That's my prediction. They'll send it in one way or another because I'm sure they're going to have multiple avenues to send it in. Audio, video, text, you know, whatever. So that way it gets through for sure. And then they'll have that one person for the league that is receiving the information and passing it on to an NFL official who will then be in front of some camera, which I would imagine is the commissioner, and announcing the pick. That's it. That's what's going to end up happening. It's not that big a deal. You know, we're kind of making it out to be a bigger deal than what it normally is. For them personally, is it a little better to be in person, see people face to face, and have these conversations? Of course. But the thing is, they've already had these conversations. They've already planned out the draft. They've already said, this is our first corner, this is our second best corner, this is our third best corner, and this is our 70th best corner. And they did that with the quarterbacks, and they did that with the left tackles, and the right tackles, and the swing tackles, and the center, and the guards, and the center slash guards, whatever. They've done all those combinations already. Those conversations have been had. Those rankings have been made. Now, is there a heated moment because two guys might be kind of the same and one position coach is fighting for one player and another position coach is fighting for another player and they're both, you know, positions of need, but now the GM has to make a decision which one should he pick over the other? That kind of crap? Of course. That's going to happen. But you're going to have them on a teleconference. So they're going to be able to, all right, hey, what do you think? You got 10 minutes. So one coach, you know, will spew his thing in 45 seconds. Then he'll go to the other position coach and say, what do you think? He'll talk for 45 seconds. And then the GM will say, okay. And then he'll look for a trade or look for a trade up or down to see if there's anything. If not, he'll take the player that he thinks out of it. That's it. It's not the end of the world. Let's not make this sound. We make this sound like this is something. You know what's crippling? You being out of work. You not being able to pay your rent, your mortgage. You not being able to pay, make your car payment. You, if you don't have any money for food for your kids on the table. That's crippling. If these guys got to work from home and that's the biggest hurdle, oh, give me a break. It's easy to overcome. Look, if we were in 1950, that's a whole different ballgame. Communicating in those days, it's different. Now, come on, man. We got audio, we got video, we got phones, we got every which way to communicate. So that's not a problem. Everybody will be fine. Everybody will get their picks in, all of that. I already told you, the challenge is not how they have their draft rooms. whether they do it at the building or they do it at their homes. None of that, ladies and gentlemen. Okay? The challenge is going to be, how good are your scouts? What kind of thorough work did they do? Were they thorough in their work is what I should have said. How much information did they gather about all these players? And the coaching staffs and the scouting staffs that were well prepared before this pandemic are the ones that are going to do the best on those days. And that's why I keep telling you, I get it. You know, for 20 years, people were like, well, why are you so negative? Why are you always picking up? Well, because they suck and they don't come through, right? And that's kind of what it was for 20 years. And now you're going to wonder, well, why the hell is he so positive about it? Well, because I kind of see that there's a boatload of scouts at heart. We don't have – see, this is the beauty of the Dolphins now. There isn't this bickering going on between the general manager and the head coach for power, and then there's some woman in the way, and she's trying to meddle in, and then you've got Mike Tannenbaum who wants to act like a football guy but isn't a football guy. He's an accountant. That's all gone. It's all gone.
You don't have coaches doing cocaine?
No, you're right. There's no coaches doing cocaine. None of that, bro. Nothing. Okay? We don't have any of that. We have a pure football guy in Chris Greer running the operations. A guy that grew up in this business, that his dad was a personnel director. Okay? His dad had a hand in drafting Brady, by the way. And his brother was an exceptional player in the NHL. We're talking about a professional family. We're talking about a guy that's a hardcore football guy. So when he finally sees all the crap that's gone on with the Dolphins and they finally give him the keys to the kingdom, what does he do? He goes and hires a head coach that's also got scouting in his background. And then he goes and he says, well, wait a minute. These guys are great personnel guys and they're great scouts. And they're available. The Raiders are going to fire Reggie McKay. You mean the guy that drafted Khalil Mack? You mean the guy that got you Derek Carr? You mean the guy that got you to the playoffs and turned it around when he, in his first 2 years, he didn't have a first and second round pick? That Reggie McKenzie? Yeah, I'm going to bring him over. And Marvin Allen's available? You mean he helped Atlanta get a bunch of talent and Kansas City? Yeah, let me bring him over. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what, you know, because I've been following personnel for a while. Those of you that have followed this show, you know we've been going to all these places for over 20 years, and I've gotten to know a lot of personnel people. And Reggie McKenzie is a badass, and Marvin Allen is a badass, and Chris Greer knows what the hell he's doing. And that's why I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where you're at. I don't care if you're at the facility or you're at home. How good are your scouts? How thorough are your scouts? Are your scouts going to find Preston Williams undrafted? Miami's did. That's what I'm talking about. Are your scouts finding Nick Needham off the scrap heap? Miami's did. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They look at their linebacker and they say, okay, this guy's undisciplined. He really can't cover. He ad-libs all the time and doesn't ad-lib really good. He's no Junior Seau ad-libbing. Let's trade his ass and let's bring in Vince Beagle, because Vince Beagle's being underused there, but we can use him in a certain way here. Their scouts aren't doing it, but Miami's is. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You see the examples are there already. Eric Rowe. They figure out Eric Rowe can't play corner, but Eric Rowe can cover the hell out of a tight end. Your scouts ain't figuring it out, but Miami's are. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So don't worry about where the hell the draft's being held. If it's being held in somebody's bathroom, if it's being held at a facility or people's homes, I don't give a rat's ass. None of that matters. They can communicate in a world of communication. We're good. Okay? Zoom, IG, phones, text.
Skype.
Skype, whatever. There's many ways to contact each other. Okay? Not worried about that. I'm worried about who's got the better scouts, who's got the better information, who's going to unearth talent. That's what I want to know. I want to know, how prepared are you? And I think our guys are going to be better prepared than most. Okay? So when I saw that story and I see people talking about this silliness, I don't give a rat's ass about that. I know that the Dolphins are going to have an advantage over most because their heart and soul are people that love to scout talent. Okay? Your team is no longer led by a guy that's an accountant acting like a football guy in Mike Tannenbaum. The guy that a friend of mine, once getting on a plane, walking through the aisle, looks to one side and sees Mike Tannenbaum sitting in an airplane seat with a draft magazine in his hand.